Okay, so it's after Pesach and back to our routine. Nothing like a routine. Sometimes it's hard to shift back into a routine. It was difficult for Am Yisrael to shift back into their routine after Kriyas Yam Suf. They went 3 days without water, Chazal say in the Gemara in Bava Kamma. Ein Mayim Elatara. It's not that they were looking just for water, they were looking for spiritual moments that they couldn't recreate the miraculous euphoria of Har Sinai. I remember hearing this, the Rav would quote this Gemara a lot, Nilu, they became depressed, they became despairing, spiritually dry, and at that point Moshe Rabbeinu was misaking Kriyas HaTorah, that there should never be a time again in Jewish history where our people should go 3 days without Torah. So sometimes the transition from Yom Tov to day-to-day routine is hard. My kids always joke with me, and my older kids say, oh, I remember Abba, when we were young, it was hard for us after Pesach, and you said routine is where meaning in life is lived, and vacation is just when you refresh yourself and think differently and switch tracks. So we're getting back to our routine, Baruch Hashem. I know it's hard for a lot of people, but nothing like a Sfasemis to get us back to our routine, and nothing like a few provocative Sfasemises to bring us back to Parsha Sacharemos. So in Parsha Sacharemos, the Torah describes Kimase Eretz Mitzrayim. Let me get a Chumash here so I can quote the Pasuk the right way. Actually, let me take a step back. Let me try to provide a background for what the Sfasemis is aiming towards. Chassidus blurred the difference between what we would call sacred and ritual actions and mundane actions. So for the non-Chassidic person, there's a clear compartmentalization, not compartmentalization, but there's a clear difference or divide between a ritual sacred act, we would call that the world of Kodesh, and a mundane act, the world of Chulin. So when I'm learning Torah, I'm involved in a sacred moment. When I'm performing this as lulav or tefillin, that's a ritual moment. When I'm making kiddush on Shabbos, that's a moment of giving a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when I'm just in the marketplace or eating or with my family or traveling, those are mundane moments. And not to say that mundane moments are unrelated to religion, but there's a divide and there's a clear difference between Kodesh and Chol. For Chassidus, because Hashem is ever-present, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence suffuses all of reality, and so, and additionally, there's less significance to the external shell of actions, and more significance to the internal life of an action, and the internal life that's connected to Hashem. So all that taken together, the differences between a mitzvah and an act that's mundane start to become blurred. After all, I'm just trying to find Hashem, and the external action is merely a portal to get to that interaction or encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I can encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu while I'm performing a mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. So I can encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu while I'm in the marketplace and accessing the Rabbono Shalom. So that's obviously one of the pillars of Chassidus, the decentralization of sacred actions, decentralization of Talmud Torah, creating parity and equality of activity. And obviously these are not just ideas. These are ideas that come from very, very... A lot of people miss this when they study Chassidus, or again, I keep saying this because the Sfasemis is so easy to read. So it's not like you're reading a Devar Torah that your rabbi wrote or that, you know, that you heard from someone. And every word has very, very deep, deep Kabbalistic, cosmological meanings and intents. So given all that, let's study in Parsha Sacharemos one of the strategies, one of the sources for the Sfasemis of building this, what I would call universalization of action. So the Torah writes, Kimase Eretz Mitzrayim Mishar Yishavtim Be Lo Tasu, Uchumase Eretz Kinana Shem Yivyeschem Shama Lo Tasu, V'chukosehem Lo Selichu. That's Pasuk number one. We'll get to Pasuk number two in a minute. You shouldn't follow the behavior of the Egyptians that you left and the Canaanites that you will enter. Now, what particular parts of their world is the Torah referring to? Probably going to most of the Farshim, it's the paganism, the sexual promiscuity of either each of these cultures, or maybe Egypt was more paganistic and Eretz Canaan was more sexually promiscuous. I think one of them, some Mefarshim talk about the murderers, but essentially complete moral and religious collapse. Avodah Zarah, Gila Arayos, and Shfichas Damim. But yet the Torah uses the kaf, ki ma'asei Eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtim ba, u'chim ma'asei Eretz Kinan asher ani miveyeschem shama. Why the kaf? So there are many ways to understand why the Torah uses the word kaf. But for the Sfas Emes, someone just walked in, it's Beit HaZman himself. I don't have the background noise of the Beis Medrash, but my kids and grandkids and people in the house are constantly coming in. So, Kibmase Eretz Mitzrayim Mesher Yishavtim Ba, according to the Sfas Emes, means not just the prohibited acts of Avodah Zarah or Gilui Arayos, but even what we would call behavioral, general experiential, general activities that have nothing to do with religion and that are amoral. There's no moral element to them. You're not killing anyone. You're not being involved in sexual violation. There's no avodah zarah. Kimase, or the language of the Sfas Emes, b'chol ha-ma'asim, lo nase osam. This is Tafresh Lamed Hei. Kimo she'osim osam b'eretz Mitzrayim uvichanan. You should avoid behavior that's similar to Eretz Mitzrayim and Canaan, not just those that are morally troubling. Now, why? Why should I not behave like the Canaanites? Why should I not behave like the Egyptians? So for you and me, that's very simple. Because Judaism, no matter what branch, no matter what ideology, no matter what approach, there's some degree of cultural insularity. At some point, we have to carve out a separate place and a separate island, not just ritually, but the way we eat, the way we behave, the way we marry, the way we conduct business, we live separate. So I have to gauge my behavior, my dress, my deportment, not just through the lens of halacha, but through the lens of behavioral experience. But for the Sfas Emes, it's a little bit different. For the Sfas Emes, the reason that I should not copy or mimic the behavior of non-Jews is because even though the action itself, like who cares if I behave like them, if I speak like them, if I walk like them, if I dress like them, these are not areas that have anything to do with ritual or halacha, but that's only on the external level. If you look at the external, dress, walk, speech, behavior, like who cares? But every external action has an internal course, an internal fear. So certainly for Jews, they're meant to be. And for the Sfas Emes, non-Jews don't have that internal element to an action. So if I mimic the actions of non-Jews, I'm essentially taking actions that don't have that pnimius. They don't have the same pnimius, don't have pnimius at all. And when I behave with my own actions, those actions may seem neutral or innocent or innocuous externally, but internally, they're access points to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, in the language of the Sfas Emes, Ki b'chol ha-masim yesh ben pnimius v'chitzonius. U'bevadai sharish kol ha-maisim hukum hu v'kedusha. And for us, the core, the root, the epicenter of all of our actions is connecting to Kedusha. Ki ha-kol l'chvod ha-barak. Because everything Hashem created is to honor Him and to encounter Him. V'nekuda pnimius nitin l'v'nei Yisrael. And that was given to us. That inner core of action, whether it's a ritual action, whether it's a non-ritual action, that dynamic exists for us. But it doesn't exist for the non-Jews, and that's why, according to the Sfas Emes, their behavior is called chukos sehem lo telechu. For the Sfas Emes, and I'm not sure where he derives this from, the word chukah suggests an external action that doesn't have an internal core of Kedusha. I am assuming maybe the word chukah sounds like lechazal tuk, something that has no meaning. So just like it has no meaning, it's illogical, it has no inner core. But for the Sfas Emes, that's why I shouldn't behave like Egyptians, like Canaanites, or for that matter, like any non-Jew, not just in my ritual world, but in my general world, because the actions don't have the same core that connects me to Kedusha. Now, he doesn't say this explicitly, but he implies it, that when I'm involved in actions that have a core of Kedusha, then I'm able to access HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just through my mitzvot, and not just through my Talmud Torah, but through the actions. And he continues in this piece, the mitzvah activities help me find that Kadosh Baruch Hu through the pnimius of my actions, even for non-mitzvahs. What does that mean? And here he gets very strategic. He gets very methodological. How exactly does the performance of mitzvahs or Torah study help me, find that Kadosh Baruch Hu through non-Torah mitzvahs activities? How does it work through Kabbalah? What's the mechanism? Well, the continuation of this pasuk, or the next pasuk, describes some strategy where mitzvos help my general actions become access points for Hashem. Mishpatai tasu, you should follow instead of the Egyptian and Canaanite behavior, my mitzvos, Chogosai Tishmaru, Laleches Bohem, interesting phrase. Ushmartem is Chogosai Vismishmatai, the next pasuk, Vachai Bohem. So somehow, if I don't behave like the Canaanim and the Egyptians, and my actions have an inner core, my mitzvah actions will allow my general actions to serve as a portal to that inner core of an encounter with Hashem. How exactly does this happen? So in the continuation of the piece, he says as follows. Every mitzvah correlates to a body part. My 248 mitzvahs, 248 body parts. Which means that every time I perform a mitzvah, I subjugate that body part to the mitzvah. Now, here's where it gets Kabbalistic. Not just do I subjugate or sublimate or subject that body part to a mitzvah, but that body part then becomes mitzvah-sized. It becomes incorporated in a mitzvah, and it itself becomes sanctified by having performed the mitzvah. And here's the point, here's the core issue. When that body part is involved in another non-mitzvah action, it still has the vitality of the mitzvah, which has suffused the body part, which then affects the other general actions, and therefore creates v'chai bohem. Again, chai doesn't mean life. Chai in Kabbalah means a contact with the inner core, the inner life of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, which suffuses everything, all reality, all activities. V'chai bohem means it allows me to use the external shell of an action to access the inner core, the inner life of Chiyus. So to summarize, this Sfas Emes is an extremely, extremely, I won't say provocative, but it's a characteristic Sfas Emes. Don't behave like the non-Jews. Why should you not behave like the non-Jews? Because the goal is to convert every human action, not just ritual action, but every moment, every behavior, every exercise, every activity, into a portal to access the inner chiyus, the inner life, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha, which is resident or nascent within every single experience. And non-Jews, for them, external actions are just a shell. That's why they're called chukos. And if you mimic or imitate their actions, you're denying yourself or depriving yourself from another access point to Hashem. Okay, well, how? Okay, forget the fact that I'm not going to mimic the Goyim, I'm not going to mimic the Canaanim and Mitzrayim. How exactly do I convert my actions into access points to the inner Chiyus and the inner Kedusha? The answer is through mitzvahs. By performing a mitzvah, the mitzvah transforms the body part, allowing that body part to be involved even in non-mitzvah activities to experience Kedusha and to experience an encounter with Hashem with the same body part that, let's say, a minute ago or a week ago was involved in a mitzvah, that now mitzvah-transformed body part accesses Kedusha when it's involved, even in non-mitzvah performances. So what makes this such a characteristic and powerful piece in the Sfas Emes is he drills down to the mechanics and the methodology by which non-ritual, non-sacred activities are access points to an encounter with the inner chiyus, the inner life and vitality of Hashem's essence that lies within every activity, and the encounter with Kedusha. Okay, now let's get to a very provocative Sfas Emes. Not a characteristic and methodological Sfas Emes, but a provocative Sfas Emes. The beginning of Acharemos, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, speaks to Moshe and to Aaron, Acharemos, Shnei ben Aaron, Bekor Vasam Lefne Hashem, Vayamusa. And clearly, this whole reference point, Rashi already notes it, is in the wake of the tragedy, the wake of the trauma of Misas, Nadav, and Avihu, Bekor Vasam Lefne Hashem, Vayamusa. So in Tav Reish Lamed Vav, the Sfas Emes says as follows, that this entire section of regulating how they should enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim and when they should enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Aaron and Moshe, and of course it's very, very limited, one day a year, one person, a specific regulated set of ceremonies, Bezos Yav Aaron HaKodesh, this is not as we would read it and as Rashi reads it, because you saw how tragic and you saw how dangerous and you saw how delicate the situation is and be careful, as Rashi says, and I'll try to talk about this Rashi tomorrow. It's, according to the Sfas Emes, it's very different. Moshe and Aaron realized that despite whatever failure and flaws and chatayim chazal note for Nadav and Avihu, tikkun gadol l'klal Yisrael. They're entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, provided for the Sfas Emes, a tikkun gadol. There's some great accomplishment that Nadav and Avihu achieved by their entering. They didn't enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but by being involved in an activity in the Beis HaMikdash, that wasn't exactly appropriate and that demonstrated the awe-inspiring presence of Hashem and how delicate our relationship with Hashem is. Again, I'm filling in the blanks. He just says, Tikkun Gadol L'Klal Yisrael. How did they create a tikkun? They didn't even enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But they demonstrated, as Moshe told Aaron, B'krovai Ekadesh V'apnei Kol Mekaved, they demonstrated the transcendence of Hashem and how careful we must be in the presence of Hashem to protect the integrity of our encounter and to protect the Kodesh Baruch Hu's transcendence. So despite whatever irregularities and deviances they performed, there was a tikkun gadol l'klal Yisrael, even though the Sfasem is conceded that there was a chisaron b'masehem. And then the Sfasem says something even more audacious. He says, and this is the reason that Am Yisrael was zocha to avodas Yom HaKippurim. If not for Nadav and Avihu, we would never have received avodas Yom HaKippurim. Now that's hard to imagine. Avodas Yom HaKippurim and the process of entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim appears to be so important and general and universal that it shouldn't be contingent or dependent upon whether Nadav and Avihu sinned or didn't sin. But yet, according to the Psukim, it sounds that, had they not sinned, then Bezel Siyavo Aaron, the beginning of Acharevos, would never have been delivered. Now, logically, why was it delivered? Again, because they erred, they miscalculated, even subtly, and therefore Kodesh Baruch Hu had to deliver a whole new system which does allow human entry once a year, but in a very, very, very regulated fashion to avoid the mishap of Nadav and Avihu. That means, effectively, cause and effect, Nadav and Avihu are responsible for Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Now, if Nadav and Avihu hadn't failed or erred, would there have been another mechanism and another way to deliver Avodas Yom HaKippurim? Presumably so, but in the end, they're the cause for the effect of Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Now, this, according to the Sfas Emes, is going to incite in Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen potentially a great desire to add other tikkun to Am Yisrael and to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name also by entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, even at the threat of death. Because what's more important, your life or the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world? And maybe I should also enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim and take my life into my own hands in an unregulated fashion, unauthorized fashion, just to further demonstrate the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was the Nisayon that Moshe and Aaron were facing, according to this Sfas Emes. And that's why Hashem says, V'lo yamusu. It's not what I want. Don't. That's not. Indeed, after the fact, b'di'eved, there was a great tikkun for Am Yisrael. After the fact, b'di'eved, Nadav and Avihu's death demonstrated the transcendence of Hashem, the awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that's not something you should proactively solicit. Let me phrase this in a more general term, non-Hasidic fashion. Judaism doesn't have a death wish. As much as we're Mekadesh Shem Shamayim through our death, we don't have a death wish. We want to live and through life sanctify the presence of Hashem. Now we're so committed in our life to Hashem's presence that if historical conditions demand, then we freely sacrifice our lives for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, but we don't pursue death. And think about that difference in context of the barbaric murderers of Hamas, Yimach Shemam, who desire to be shahids, who want to be shahids, who crave death. And it's a very, very, very delicate balance. And that balance is being demonstrated to Moshe and Aaron in the beginning of Acharemos. Yes, death of a person on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name sanctifies Hashem's name. And even when that death was the product of a slight mistake, whatever Nadav and Avihu's mistake was, the reason they died is because it happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Had those errors happened outside the Beis HaMikdash, their lives wouldn't have been taken. So yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence and Kedusha is enhanced by their death. Now Moshe and Aaron are saying, well, maybe let's run into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and maybe we'll be incinerated also, but it'll lead to more of a presence of Hashem in this world. People will better understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be more frightened of Hashem and greater awe and greater humility in the presence of Hashem. So Hashem says, V'lo yamusu. That's not what I want. Nucha lefarish v'lo yamusu b'chlal azhara. Ki af shashim sa'ara nasha l'kanet af shayamus. Maybe Aaron will run in just even courting death. So it's a very powerful message, especially in the context of our current encounter with the culture of death. Okay, one final Sfas Emes, just because I thought of it, it's a whole different track. The Medrash quotes the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Kishoshana ben hachochim, kein ra'yasi ben hapanos. The Jewish people are compared to a rose amongst thorns. Just like a rose is amongst thorns, similarly, my wife, my Rayasi, is Bein Abanos. According to Chazal, this demonstrates the difficulty of Am Yisrael and of gathering Am Yisrael. It's like trying to pick a rose from a thorn garden. It's hard to pick, and it's hard to, and the thorns, of course, affect and damage the rose. Okay, that's the Medrash, and the Medrash goes off into its description of the difficulties that Am Yisrael faces by being in a thorn rose garden. So Semes felt that the next pasuk is symmetrical. What's the next pasuk in Shir HaShirim? That the Jewish people, this is Shir HaShirim, Perek Beis, are compared to a rose in a thorn garden. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to Kitapuach Betzei Hayar, Kein Dodi Ben Habanim. Shem is compared to an apple tree. Kitapuach Betzei Hayar, Kein Dodi Ben Habanim, Betzei Luchim Aritiv Yashav, they want to be in his shade, Upriyo, and his fruit, Matok Lichiki. For this last Semes, there's a symmetry between the two psukim. That just like it's difficult for Am Yisrael because they're in a rose garden, and there are thorns in the rose garden, it's difficult for us to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world because he's a tapuach batzei hayar. He's an apple tree in a forest, and it's hard to see the apple tree, it's hard to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. In one part of his Sfas Emes, he speaks about the fact that, based on the Medrash, that an apple tree doesn't really provide shade. Its leaves aren't as big as, let's say, fig tree or oak trees, and therefore you have fruit but not shade, and therefore it's hard to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha, the same way it's hard to feel. It's there, but it's hard to see visually and obviously the shade of an apple tree. And that's the Sfas Emes' elaboration of this Medrash. Again, the Medrash doesn't talk about the relationship between the rose garden and the apple tree, but the Sfas Emes feels that these two psukim, which are in sequence in Perek Beis, Shir HaShir, and Pasuk Beis, and Pasuk Gimel, Ke Shoshana ben Echochim, Kein Re'asi ben Abanos, Ke Tapuach Batzei Hayar, Kein Nodi ben Habanim, these two psukim suggest symmetry. That just like it's difficult for Am Yisrael, being in a rose garden, it's difficult to collect Am Yisrael, to take them back from Galus, because of the thorns that surround them. Similarly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's difficult to appreciate his Hashkacha, because he is like a Tapuach Batzei Hayar. My own thoughts, having read the Sfas Emes, this is now the third layer. The first layer is the Medrash. The second layer is the Sfas Emes, creating the symmetry between the rose garden and the apple tree. My own thoughts are, is that Hashem's Hashkacha is difficult to see, not just in general, that's true of our world, but it's even more difficult to see, and it's more tapuach betzei hayar, like and indiscernible, when it comes to the reality of Kishoshana ben Echochim. Namely, when you look at Hashkacha in general of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our world, it's hard to see the classic theological questions, Tzadik v'ra'lo, Rasha v'tovlo, why do righteous people suffer, why do working people prosper? But there's an added layer of enigma and an added layer of mystery when trying to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha about the Shoshana ben Echochim, about Jewish history and about Jewish suffering, and about October 7th, and about the Holocaust, which we'll commemorate next week. That creates an added layer, an added shell of mystery and confusion about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha when you consider the history and the experience of Am Yisrael like a Shoshana ben Echochim. So, these are the three levels that hit me when I was reading this Sfas Emes. Obviously, the Medrash just talks about the image of Am Yisrael being like a rose in a thorn garden. So Sfas Emes connects that pasuk to the ensuing pasuk, just like Am Yisrael's condition is difficult because it's surrounded by thorns. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world is hidden like an apple tree. And then the final level, to me, it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is even more hidden when it comes to the experience of the rose in the thorn garden.